Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There, at Svetadvip, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord. Simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with a fixed mind he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram, Lakshman Hanumanji, Sri Sri Gaurinitai Ki Jai. Please repeat, there at Svetadvip, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though he never seen the Supreme Lord, simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with a fixed mind, he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. Purport. It is said that when Brahma and the other demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Svetadvip, they cannot directly see him, but the prayers are heard by the Lord, and the needful action is taken. This we have seen in many instances. The word Shruta Purvaya is significant. We get experience by directly seeing or by hearing. It is not possible to see someone directly. If it is not possible to see someone directly, we can hear about him from authentic sources. Sometimes people ask whether we can show them God. This is ludicrous. It is not necessary if you want to see God before he can accept God. Our sensory perception is always incomplete. Therefore, even if we see God, we may not be able to understand him. When Krishna was on the earth, many, many people saw him, but could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Avajanti mam mudha manusim tanu astritam. Even though the rascals and fools saw Krishna personally, they could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even upon seeing God personally, one who is unfortunate cannot understand him. Therefore, we have to hear about God, Krishna, from authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. Even though Brahma had not seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead before, he was confident that the Lord was there in Svetadvip. Thus he took the opportunity to go there and offer prayers to the Lord. These prayers were not ordinary concocted prayers. Prayers must be approved by Vedic literature, as indicated in this verse by the words Daivi Bi Gir Bi. In our Krishna conscious movement, we do not allow any song that has not been approved or sung by bona fide devotees. We cannot allow cinema songs to be sung in the temple. We generally sing two songs. One is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. That wasn't very melodious, was it? No. Try it again. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. We're getting better. This is bona fide. It is always mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and is accepted by the Acharyas. The other, of course, is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think we should do that for the whole class. It's better than anything I can possibly say. Okay, and then Prabhupada goes on to say, we may also sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Lochan Das Thakur. But these two songs, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, are sufficient to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we cannot see Him. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating Him from authentic Vedic literature or from the authentic statements of authorized persons. End of purport. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the theme of this particular verse is it's more important to serve God and to offer beautiful prayers and service to God than actually to try and make an effort to see God. In America, there are many what they call individual states, like there's New Jersey, of course we talked about that, New Jersey, New York, New England, of course that's not a state, that's a series of states. Massachusetts, Rhode Island, so many states, there's 50 states. But there's one state called Missouri, maybe you heard of Missouri. Well, Missouri on their license plate, because each state has a different license plate, different color, and then they have a slogan for their state. That state is called the Show Me State. Show Me. So I think they would have a hard time with Krishna consciousness. Because it's quite the opposite. It's not about seeing or making an effort to see. As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God wants to see you. So it's not about trying to see the Lord. It's by giving the Lord the opportunity to see us through our, what we say, devotion, service to the Lord. We take what is called darshan. We say, let me take darshan, let me see the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also has an interesting statement in this regard. He was standing in front of the deities, I think it was in Mayapur, those deities, Gandharva Giridhari, beautiful deities that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had established in Sridhar Mayapur. It's in the Chaitanya Math, you can go and see those deities. And he wears glasses for distance, and he didn't have his glasses with him. So one brahmachari noticed that and said, Maharaj, can I bring your glasses? He said, no, never mind, what can we see? We don't, these eyes cannot see God. So he was also instructing that we have to purify our vision through the process of devotional service. Then Krishna reveals himself by our devotional service. That is the process for seeing God. So here it's mentioned such a great personality as Lord Brahma. He hasn't seen God, nor when he goes to the island of Svetadvipa will he actually get this chance to see the Lord. But he will see the Lord through the offering of beautiful prayers. The Lord is absolute. So Lord can be experienced in different ways, through hearing about the Lord, through serving about the Lord, through chanting the glories of the Lord. 9 different ways to express our devotion, and that is none different than seeing the Lord, because all the processes of devotional service are absolute. And Prabhupada makes it a point, it's not so easy to see God. In fact, it's very difficult to see God. Here it's explained that even though persons did physically, with their eyes, see the personality of Godhead when he was personally present on this earth 5,000 years ago, still they could not recognize him as the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada makes an interesting statement in this regard. He says, out of millions of people who actually saw him physically, between only 100 and 200, Prabhupada uses that, between 1 and 200 actually knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a qualification to be able to see God. But a devotee is not so eager to see God. A devotee wants to serve God. And that is non-different than seeing God. Because when we serve God, we actually please God, and God reveals himself in our devotional service through many ways. How does he reveal himself? He gives us his personal presence through intelligence, through spiritual happiness, through detachment from material activities, through realization of the process of Krishna consciousness. In other words, we experience God through the symptoms of devotional service. Because devotional service is non-different than Krishna himself. Bhakti, bhakta, and Bhagavan, three categories within the context of relation. There is the devotee, there is the process of devotional service, and then there is the Lord himself. Out of the three, the most powerful is bhakti. Because bhakti can capture Bhagavan. So the Lord can be controlled and captured by his devotee through loving devotional service. And then he becomes, what we say, subordinate to bhakti. Pure bhakti, of course. When bhakti is pure, then Krishna is attracted. Purity. What makes something valuable? Sometimes in this world, sometimes people say something is valuable because it's rare. A rare coin, a rare gem, something rare. But there are also many things in the category of unwanted, which are also rare, like rare diseases. We don't really want those so much. So rarity is not really considered to be something that is, what we say, seen as valuable. What's valuable is purity. Pure, just like if you get water, pure water is the best. If you get food, pure food is the best. If you get air, you want air that is pure. So purity on what makes a gem valuable is it's not mixed with any other alloys or metals. That's what makes a diamond valuable when it's not. That's why they say different kinds of carat diamond. 24 carat or 28 carat. That means there's more diamond than anything else within that gem. And therefore, it's more pure. So purity is sought after. And Krishna is attracted to pure devotional service. And pure devotional service is easily available. And therefore, Prabhupada makes it very simple. He explains here, we should offer nice prayers to the Lord. This is one of the processes of devotional service. It's called vandanam, to offer beautiful prayers to the Lord. And Prabhupada gives us two basic prayers that we chant every day is the Panchatattva mantra and the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. Prabhupada really made one statement. Of course, you can find it in the Vedabase if you do some research. He says the Panchatattva mantra is as powerful as the Hare Krishna mantra. Because actually it is the Maha Mantra also. It's only simply names of God. And it makes up the five aspects of the Absolute Truth. God, God's manifestation, God's incarnation, God's devotee, and God's energy. The five aspects of the Absolute Truth. Prabhupada would also say that the Mayavadis think there's no God, but we say not only is there not no God, but there's five of them. They all come at one time to convince you that you are a fool five times over, not just once. So, yeah, God is in the. So, that chanting of the Sri Krishna Chaitanya mantra is very, very auspicious. And that's why when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is mentioned we always precede the chanting with the Panchatattva Mantra, because it allows us entrance into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. It's very auspicious and very purifying. And of course, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Prabhupada says these are two bona fide chants. He's also very careful to point out not to bring in different kinds of mantras from other sources. Sometimes we see persons who are known as great spiritualists like to concoct things. There was one Babaji, Radharamanji Babaji, who was very much known in the area of Jagannath Puri, Radhacharan Babaji. And he was very popular, he had a large following, and he decided to kind of like take some of the principal mantras and take the essence of each mantra and combine it and make a better mantra. What is that mantra? He said, Hare Krishna, Hare, no, what is it? Sri Krishna, go, I can't remember. Hare, anyway, he took the Panchatattva mantra, he took the Hare Krishna mantra, and he took other ones. Japa, Hare, who knows that mantra? No, no, the bogus one. Huh? No, that's not bogus. That's, huh? Hari Rama. It had a nice, actually has a nice rhyme. Hare Krishna, Hari Rama, Japa, Sri Krishna, Radhe Shyam, something like that. In other words, he took something from everywhere. And Bhakti Siddhanta challenged him very strongly, and there was a debate. And it became so, he defeated this Babaji so badly that his followers were going to take revenge on Bhakti Siddhanta. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his father, told him, you better back off, you know, because these guys are very crazy. So he did. He did. That was in the early 1900s, around 1904, I think that was, when he was still developing his preaching at that time. So there's a lot of bogus things out there. Sometimes we see that even in our Krishna conscious movement, bringing in cinema songs. So Prabhupada cautions us not to do that, but to stick to the authorized mantras. And he gives a broader range. He also says we can chant mantras by songs by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We have the beautiful songbook, so many wonderful songs by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What was Prabhupada's favorite song was Hari Hari Vipale Janama Goanainu Manusana Janma Paya Radha Krishna Napadiya Janiya Sunya Pisai Chu Goloke Pe Madana Hari Naam Sankirtan Ratin Janmilo Kene Pai. Prabhupada was asked, what is your favorite bhajan? One Mataji, she asked him. I think it was Govinda Dasi. Prabhupada said that one. So that's a beautiful song. So there's so many authorized Vaishnava melodies and tunes that are just so rich with spiritual embellishments of devotion on different aspects of loving exchange between the soul and the Supreme Soul. So we can sing those songs, and then, of course, Narottam Das Thakur. Just like every day we sing Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Janavallava Giri Vadadari, Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana, Jamuna Tira Vanachari. That is Bhakti Vinod. And Prabhupada said that song is the perfect description of God. He says, these four lines describe God incomplete. What he does, plays on the flute, he's surrounded by his eternal associates in the form of the gopis in Vrindavan. He gives them great pleasure. He's the son of Mother Yasoda. He delights the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He's also Giridhari. He lives the Sri Govardhan Hill. And he also sports in the groves of Vrindavan Dham near the Jamuna with his friends. So these are beautiful, beautiful descriptions of Krishna and Sri Vrindavan Dham, these songs. And when we sing these songs or we hear the singing of these songs, we actually can enter into these leelas. And that's how the acharyas teach us that when we hear these songs, Prabhupada used to say, try to enter into the spirit of the chant. Go into the meaning. We sing the song and we get the spiritual taste from it. But when we meditate on the meanings of the words, we can go deeper into these songs. And then we can actually experience the happiness of these, the mood of these. They're taking us into Sri Vrindavan Dham, like that. And then he also said, also the songs of Lochan Das Thakur and others. So everything is there. So the essence of this particular verse is just try to glorify God. And that's as good as seeing God. And don't try to see God. One person asked Prabhupada, have you seen God? Prabhupada said, if I told you, would you believe me? In other words, how can you tell that I'm actually speaking the truth? What is your? Do you have the adhikari? Adhikari means qualification, to understand whether I'm telling the truth or not. How do you know whether I'm seeing God? Therefore, you have to know what is the characteristic of one who can actually see God, and what it means to actually see God. So, therefore, people sometimes say that, or sometimes they say to Prabhupada, and this is, or even say, can you show me God? And Prabhupada would sometimes say, just go into the temple, he's right there. He's standing on the altar. No, I want to see God. Well, that's God. You can't see him as God, but I can. That's what Prabhupada was saying. So, but actually he's there, and his transcendental form is a deity. So there is drishta, and drushya. Is that good Bengali? I don't know. Yeah, no? Drushya? Drushya. That is seen, right? And drushya means one who is being seen. All right. So when we take darshan of the Lord, we're the one that's being seen. And Krishna is the one that's seeing. It's not the other way around. Sometimes people run to see the deity, but can we actually see? Therefore, the idea is to present oneself in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. And that way, Prabhupada said, when you go before the deity, you just should be very, as he said, very in a mood of humility and in the mood of service. How can I serve? That's darshan. Darshan means, what can I do? How can I serve? I am so fallen. I'm so useless. I'm so rotten. I'm so spaced out. These are good mantras. You want to know some extra mantras? They're really the best ones. My Lord, but you are so merciful. That's the point. That even though I have all these disqualifications, which are causing me not to be able to appreciate nor to execute devotional service properly, still you're merciful and you give me a chance through your devotees and through your holy name. So we can chant like that. We can pray like that. And that is actually the proper prayer. So it's not about seeing God. It's about serving God in such a way that God is pleased. And then Krishna consciousness is revelation. That's why many people study Vedic literatures in order to understand God. But study can only take one to the point of understanding the process for seeing God. The study can open up the understanding of how to approach the Supreme Personality of God in the most effective and proper way. But philosophical knowledge, is always fall short of realization because it is simply based on the level of intelligence. And therefore Krishna's, he's beyond the mind, he's beyond the intelligence, he's beyond, even beyond the imagination. You can try to, imagination can go into areas of intelligence, into areas where intelligence cannot go. You can imagine beyond what is even logical, but still, Krishna is even beyond your imagination. Beyond your imagination. So there's no way to approach Krishna other than through the process of bhakti. And Krishna is very happy to reveal himself when he sees a devotee is simple and sincere in executing devotional service. Simple means you present yourself with what you are. Don't try to hide anything. Sometimes we try to present ourselves as being very advanced, learned, knowledgeable, educated, ability-oriented, so many things. None of these things impress the Supreme Personality. In fact, they actually depress him. He's depressed when he hears all about our good qualities. It's better to kind of like neglect all these things, even if they are there. Still, we don't present these things. But we are in such a consciousness that we simply want to beg for the mercy. So devotee, Prabhupada says, our devotees are beggars. We're begging for devotional service, we're begging for mercy, we're begging for the qualifications that are pleasing so we can execute devotional service to the Lord. We're beggars, that's all. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya gave that verse, Trinadapi sanichena tayori vasa hishnuna manina mamanadena kirtaniya sadarahi. Humility means to always depend on Krishna. Tolerance means to always, never to be feeling, what we say, proud in any. No. Tolerance simply means to go on with your devotional service despite any difficulties. That's what tolerance really means. Pridelessness means to understand that you're small. We don't have anything to offer. And respect for others means to see Krishna in the heart of all living entities. That's actually how we respect each and every living entity. We know that in the heart of each living entity, Krishna is there. And therefore, we give respect to two souls, the soul and the super soul, like that. And Prabhupada said, that's what obeisances means. Obeisances means to offer your respect to God within the heart of that living being, like that. That is actually obeisances. That way, Prabhupada said, you can offer your obeisances even to an ant, because Krishna's in the heart of an ant also. He's in the heart of a blade of grass also. He's there in all aspects of life. Wherever there's life, there's God. So, therefore, a devotee cultivates these qualities of devotional service. And even if somebody offends a devotee or causes difficulty to a devotee never becomes upset, angry, or what we say, vengeful. Devotee accepts whatever happens in devotional service as an opportunity to advance forward and as coming from the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee can never not make advancement if they always accept whatever happens as an opportunity to go deeper into devotional service, to purify our heart from some material attachments. Something. There's always something there in devotional life. I was listening yesterday, I don't know, maybe I was watching Niranjan Swami. He was giving a class in Chowpatty. He was telling about something. He told about a personal story in his life when he was in the Boston Temple back in the 70s. And they switched temple presidents. And this new temple president was just into changing everything and doing everything different from the previous temple president. Now, he was a book distributor and was going out on books 8 to 10 hours a day. And somehow this temple president didn't like him. And every time that he would see him, Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Kijai. And he's explaining this story about his own personal example. I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story. He told it so nicely yesterday, and it's so powerful, that this temple president, every time he saw him, he would criticize him publicly. All the time. Always find fault with him publicly. And he somehow or other was just tolerating it. But still, it was just disturbing in his heart. So this was going on for some time. And then one day, Naranjan Swami was asked to give class. He was a brahmachari at the time. And so there was the chapter of the 18th chapter of the first canto, where Shamik Rish, when he hears how his son Sringi cursed this powerful king, Maharaj Parikshit, to die within 7 days, he's overwhelmed with unhappiness. He's upset. He's thinking, why this king should retaliate and chastise my son? He doesn't deserve to be criticized like that. In fact, he has the power to retaliate. He should do it. But then he's thinking, but the devotees of the Lord, they don't do that. Whatever happens to it, whether they're vilified, criticized, neglected, or even killed, they don't take revenge. And then he was reading these verses and giving classes 3 days on this section. And then while he was reading, he was explaining yesterday in his class that he was feeling so happy that this temple president was criticizing him. Because he was getting such realization from the verses in relationship to the experience he was having of being criticized, that he was feeling Krishna's mercy coming through so powerfully that he was feeling happy. Amazing. And then he goes on to explain that when he saw the temple president, then he thanked him. Thank you for giving me such realizations in Krishna consciousness. And then so many years later, that temple president, when he saw that the same person became a sannyasi, and now he was a grihastha, he was a little bit upset. He said, boy, I really criticized you so much. I really apologize for that. And he went to pay his obeisances to Naranjan Swami. And when he did, Naranjan Swami just picked him up and embraced him and said, thank you very much. You did me such a great favor. You're my Prabhu. So, and the way he told it, you could actually understand it was coming from his heart, that he got such realization in an apparently negative situation. So that's how a devotee sees everything that comes by way of the mercy of Krishna. There's always something good into it. There's something, always something beneficial. So devotees not disturbed and everything. Therefore, this is what it means to see Krishna. Krishna says, one who sees me in everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is that person lost to me. So Krishna can be seen in our day-to-day life, in our execution of devotional service. Why is Krishna doing what he's doing? Sometimes we thank him. Sometimes we wonder why he did it, and sometimes we get a little concerned that he's maybe not, you know, attentive enough to what he's supposed to be doing. A little neglectful there. But it's not like that. So Krishna puts us into difficult situations just so we can go deeper into our Krishna consciousness like that. And therefore, a devotee is never disturbed. So a devotee is so happy just to serve the Lord. This is where our happiness is. When Prahlad Maharaj was offered benedictions by Nisringadev after he killed his father, Ranyakashipu, the Lord was so pleased with the bhakti of Prahlad Maharaj that he just wanted to offer something to Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj was so resistant and said, I'm just happy serving you. This is my happiness. I'm not asking for anything. Please don't tempt me. He said, I'm not a vanik. I'm not a merchant. I don't serve you for something. So this illustrates that bhakti is so satisfying that a devotee doesn't want anything but service. That's all. Just to serve. Because in that service, everything is there. And ultimately, Krishna is revealed only through devotional service like that. So whatever we may get for in our life, we can use it as an opportunity to serve the Lord with our intelligence, with our ability, with our resources, with anything that Krishna gives us. It's opportunity to use it in his service and not to use it in the wrong way or for sense gratification like that. So Brahma, he's going to see the Lord, but he's not going to be able to see the Lord. He's going to be able to offer prayers to the Lord. And that is good as seeing the Lord directly. Any questions?